Hello, everyone, and welcome to World's Shocking Stories. I'm Denise, and with me, as always, is my soulmate and partner in this roller coaster we call life, Brad.
Hello, everyone.
So today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into one of the most infamous unsolved cases in all of Finnish history. Four teenagers went on a camping trip on Lake Bodom. Three would end up deceased, but one made it out alive, injured, but alive. Which leads us up to what happened that night, because this is still an unsolved and there are many theories, but no real answers.
Yeah, like Denise said, this case is baffling with twists and turns. But at the end of the day, Miley Borkland, 15, Anya Mackey, 15, Seppo Boisman, who's 18, lost their lives. But Nils Gustafsson, who's 18 also, he survived, but he was like severely injured. So who are these young people and what happened to them?
You told me about this case a while ago when you were doing your research, and I've been on the edge of my seat waiting for this case.
Yeah. So back when I was really into heavy metal music, which hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't.
There's a band that was called Children of Bodom. And I used to listen to them a lot years and years ago. And it made me wonder how they get that name. So I actually Googled it of why they got that name. It's because of these children who lost their lives. So right now I'm going to play a little clip of Children of Bodom.
I've never heard the band.
Okay, everybody, that song was called Lake Bodom by Children of Bodom, and they got their name, obviously, from this case.
They weren't singing in English, were they?
They're from Finnish. They're from Finland, so
okay.
A lot of metal bands don't, like, yeah, that's English, though.
Oh.
Sorry for everybody's...
Oh, my God!
Sorry for everybody's ears, but, I mean... To get into, that's the reason why I was working so fascinated with this case, because I knew about this band.
It's horrible.
Denise does not like this type of music.
I do not like, no, none of this heavy metal stuff. I need to be able to sing with the lyrics, and I cannot sing with this.
No? I can see you singing like that.
No.
You put some like white face paint. And,
no, just me screaming.
But that's how I got fascinated with this case at first, because of this band. You all right over there?
Oh, no. It's like, it's bad enough when I get in the vehicle and you've been in it and I turn the truck on and all of a sudden the music is blaring. And now I have to listen to this.
Yeah, sorry again for everybody's ears and people who don't like this type of music. But I mean,
my cheeks hurt.
They got their derived their name from this case. So I had to put it in here.
Okay.
So though
you had to.
I had to. I had to.
Yeah, you were looking forward to that part.
I was. Lake Bodom is a large lake surrounded by small villages. It is west of Helsinki and north of the city of Espoo.
Espoo?
Espoo.
Espoo.
Our story starts with four teenagers set out for a camping trip. And to me, it looks like a double date because the two girls were dating the two older boys.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They rode west about 30 kilometers to the lake on their motorcycles. And once they got to the campsite, they pitched a light-colored tent. So, yeah, it seems like a fun time so far, like camping on the lake.
Well, I don't know about that because we were just talking about David
Shearing
yeah. earlier and about
people watching you
and then murdering you. And now we're talking about camping again.
And this is almost the same thing, too. So, like, they could have been watched, too, but they got murdered.
We have a theme.
I know. Apparently, this is don't go camping right now.
Yeah, let's just get our trailer dewinterized or forget about camping now.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
So now a lot was happening in their lives at this point. School was just ending, and Miley was just about to turn 16. I also found out that the two boys were about to head off to army service. Seppo was the oldest of the bunch. He just turned 18 in January. He had blonde hair and was working as an apprentice electrician. Now, Nils had thick brown hair, and he had just turned 18 a month before the incident. Nils was a popular boy and was always very well dressed, in a sported leather jacket like most of us did in our teens.
Plus being motorcycle riders.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta wear a leather jacket when you ride a motorcycle.
Or straight up. Or to be cool in high school.
Miley was just about to turn 16, and she had blonde hair. I see that most people called her Ermeli because that was her middle name, but I think I'm just going to stick to Miley because it just makes it a lot easier.
Definitely.
Anya was the youngest, and she was dark-haired, and she had just turned 15 3 months before that fateful night. So she was pretty young.
They were all really young, 18 and then 16, 15. Yeah,
they're dating 18-year-old boys.
Well, I would have. Actually, I did.
So now, yeah, most people called her by her middle name, Tulicki. But I'm just going to call her Anya because it makes it easier.
Okay.
Her father was not happy about her going camping with these boys, but Anya got her mother to persuade her father to go. Of course she did.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That sounds like Sam.
Yeah, your daughter?
Yeah, she would go up to me because she knew that she could get away with stuff.
Yeah, because you babied her?
Whatever. On with the story, man.
Now that we've looked into these people, let's talk about the day and what happened. June 5th.
My birthday.
Your birthday, 1960. So it's about...
Not my birthday.
A few years before you were born.
A few? Oh my God. I wish I had freaking long arms to smack you.
Numerous years before you were born.
Decades.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So June 5th, we're going to go to movie time.
Okay.
Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
So most times I like to go a little bit ahead because it's hard to get these movies, but I'm going to keep it right here.
You're going to keep it on June 5th, 1960?
Yes, I am.
Oh my Lord. Why are you so mean to me? Everyone wants to know this. I get numerous messages on Instagram.
Oh, do you?
You would know you're on Instagram too, you dork.
I don't read it.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. No.
Okay. I'm not going to give you the actors because you might not get them, but I want to give you what?
Oh.
Okay, let me read you the synopsis.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
It is an epic drama about an aristocrat Jew living in Judea who incurs the wrath of a childhood friend. Now a Roman tribune, although forced into slavery on a gallery and compelled to witness the cruel persecution of his family, he survives harboring dreams of vengeance.
Gladiator?
A battle at sea and a chariot race are amongst the most memorable sequences.
Oh, it's on the right track. Kind of.
You are.
Gladiator.
Okay, so the main actor you probably will know. I didn't realize he was in this one.
Okay.
It's Charlton Heston.
I was thinking Charlton Heston. Is it Parting of the Sea? Is it that movie?
I've never actually seen it. It's like a classic. I know that everybody's got to watch it. I've never actually watched it.
I know this movie. I'm looking at it. I can see him. And it's like a biblical movie.
It is, yeah. Okay, you ready? I'll say one first, the first word, okay?
Okay.
Ben?
Did you say Ben? Ben. Ben-Hur?
Yes, Ben-Hur.
Okay. Ben-Hur. Isn't there a new release of that one, Ben-Hur?
I don't know.
I thought that was redone.
I've actually never watched this movie. I probably should have or should at some point, but I don't know.
I've seen it.
I'm not really big into biblical movies.
No, you're not. But you're not into biblical anything.
No.
But I remember seeing this movie when I was a child. So I'm surprised I even remembered, you know, a little bit of it. If it's not Grease, I don't remember, you know, most movies.
That's right.
Grease is my favorite.
Okay, so we're going to start this story on June 4th.
I thought we were June 5th.
So the story's going to start on June 4th. And I know I said June 5th, but that was early. It's early morning, June 5th.
Okay.
So we're starting the 4th.
Okay.
It was a Saturday, and the two couples swam in the lake, fished a little, and drank alcohol, of course.
Sounds perfect to me.
The couples were all in new relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Miley and Nils have only been dating for about 3 weeks. Seppo had a girlfriend up until spring, so this was quite new as well.
Young love.
It is, yeah. They're just, you know, having fun.
Yeah, the crushes. I remember the crushes.
Yep. The drinking went into the night, and Miley wrote in her journal that night the boys were drunk, and at 2 a.m., Seppo went fishing, which is at 2 a.m.
Come on, you're drunk, though. Yeah. When you're drunk, you're invincible. I can catch the biggest fish ever.
Sometimes, but I don't know. 2 a.m. though? I'd rather just sit around the fire and have some beers.
Well, that's you, though.
That's right. Now, at some point, Seppo must have came back from fishing, because now at the early morning of June 5th, the two couples were attacked. They believe it was between 4 to 6 a.m., and this time of year, the sun would have been coming up where it would have been fully lit outside. The four teenagers suffered serious blows to the head with a blunt object, and every one of them had a broken jaw. But that is not all. The perpetrator also used a knife on Seppo and Miley. Here's where there is a ton of overkill. It was reported that Miley was stabbed 15 times, with some of the stab wounds inflicted after her death.
Isn't that called like the berserker stage or something?
No, that's kind of like the berserker stage is like when a person kills over and over again.
Yeah, okay.
Like just starts ramping up. This one here is just overkill.
Okay.
Anya's face was covered with a scarf, maybe because the perpetrator felt bad or even knew her.
Oh, that's creepy.
Very creepy. There are conflicting reports to who actually found the bodies. One states that at 6 a.m., a group of boys who were bird watching stumbled upon the scene and reported a blonde man walking away from it. But a group of young boys at 6 a.m.
I know. I was thinking that too. It's like, because this is what, Saturday now?
Sunday morning.
Yeah. So wouldn't they be sleeping?
Yeah. Like bird watching too?
Bird watching.
When I was young, I didn't go bird watching on a Sunday morning at 6 a.m. No.
Like I had plans to go jogging with a friend, but that never panned out. I only jog if somebody's chasing me.
Yeah.
Like you better be running too because, yeah.
I just try to trip the person beside me.
So I need to keep my distance from you if we're running away from anything. Okay. Noted.
Most reports have had a carpenter named Risto Siren, which is like a cool name.
It does.
Risto Siren?
Yeah.
Apparently he came across the scene and alerted the police, who were there at noon.
What? 6 hours later? Yeah.
By now, the bodies have been there for 6 hours.
Oh, hey, there you go. See, I can tell time.
I do math.
I do math, man.
Seppo and Anya were found inside the tent, but Miley was found on top of the tent, naked from the waist down, and right next to her was her barely alive Nils.
Oh, was she sexually assaulted?
I do not believe she was.
Really?
I didn't read any reports saying that she was. So I don't know what happened or why that was like that, but I don't think she was, though.
Okay.
So now it begs the question to what happened to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
The crime scene was confusing right from the get-go. The assailant did not enter the tent to attack the people inside, but attacked blindly from outside. There were two weapons used during the attack, a knife and a blunt object, which I think is probably a rock.
Yeah. You know, it kind of sounds very cowardly to just attack from outside the tent and just stab through the tent, hoping to hit a person.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, that's very unorganized.
It is. It's just, you're afraid to see the face. Like, it just sounds like a coward way of killing someone.
Yeah.
It's like shooting somebody in the back.
Yeah, exactly. So now next, there were some items that were taken. The keys to the boys' motorcycles were gone, but the bikes were still there, which is weird. Nils also had his shoes taken, but they were found about a half a mile from the tent.
What?
With some of his clothing as well. So how did it get there? Like, apparently the shoes were like in a pile, like trying to be hidden, I think.
Why would somebody take his shoes? I could see maybe the motorcycle keys, maybe so they can't escape.
Yep.
But why take, you know, some of their clothes or shoes?
Exactly.
And then just dump them.
Just dump them. Yeah, exactly. It's like you're not keeping souvenirs. You're just throwing them away anyway.
Yeah, they're not trophies. It's just weird. Yeah.
So now, if that's not confusing, mm-hmm. let's get into the proverbial shitstorm that happens next.
Oh, I love a shitstorm.
The police, of course, at the crime scene, decided not to take any official recordings.
What?
And the first thing at any crime scene to do is what?
You cordon off the scene so no one can contaminate it. Take photos and take whatever evidence, like, they pack everything up. Like, I don't know.
Well, the first thing you should do is cordon off the crime scene right. and start collecting evidence.
Right.
They did not do that.
What did they do?
Nothing. They let everybody walk around the what? Crime scene. Seriously. They let people just walk around all willy-nilly like. They Are didn't take any records.
Fucking kidding
They didn't do
me.
Anything. So the police actually left the crime scene.
Yeah.
And the onlookers who were around destroyed it. And what the police did to rectify this mistake?
What?
They enlisted the help of soldiers to search for missing items. Like, not even police
They wouldn't
themselves.
Have had to do that if they would have just cordoned it off and collected all the evidence.
But they didn't. They just let people walk around.
Yeah, these kids deserved more than that.
Yeah, they just let people walk around.
What the
And then they got
hell?
Soldiers who aren't trained police officers or anything like that to just go look for items and stuff.
You know, I know it's 1960, but, you know, they also knew what to do in 1960 when they find yep. murdered bodies.
Yeah. So now the site was trampled and most items were never found. And that could be too, that people that were around the area could mm-hmm. have just taken them.
Yeah.
So now they even searched the lake with metal detectors and they even had an archaeological dig, but still nothing was found.
What about Nils?
I'm going to get into that right now. When they questioned Nils right after it happened, he claimed that he saw a blonde man who was dressed in black and bright red.
When you're going out to kill someone, I don't think you normally would wear bright red.
No, but also too, that's two people that said they saw a blonde man leaving the site.
Right.
So keep that kind of in mind when we get to the perpetrators who we think did this upon these kids.
Oh, okay. There is somebody.
We have a few names and we're trying to get into them because that's all we really have because this case is unsolved still.
Yeah, because the police botched it.
Oh, they botched the hell out of it. Like, just let people like walk yeah. around the crime scene and just collect, like, those keys could be collected by any single person out yep. there who's just walking around.
Yep.
Oh, look, some keys. Fuck police. Sorry.
Fuck the police.
Okay, NWA.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so let's get into some of the people that they think, like the suspects, mm-hmm. see if we could try to like narrow it down to somebody. The first person we're going to talk about is Hans Assmann.
Sorry.
What's wrong? Is something wrong?
Hans Assmann.
Wow.
Oh my God, sorry. Oh, I was not expecting that. Hans Assmann?
Hans Assmann.
Oh my God. Okay, click.
You ready?
Okay.
He was reported to be a KGB spy. Are you all right?
Yeah.
So now on June 6th, a day after the murders.
That's not a good name.
I guess you're not off of it, are you?
Oh no. Okay. Sorry. On June 6th, what?
Yeah, after the murders, mm-hmm. he arrived at Helsinki Hospital in an extremely delirious state, and his clothes had red stains on them. His fingernails were black from what appeared to be dirt. So, he could have been digging, hiding stuff and blood red or whatever? Like, possibly.
I just think maybe he's delirious because of his name.
Wow.
Okay.
So when Hans was in the hospital, he would pretend to faint or to be unconscious just so that doctors would treat him faster.
Oh, wow. What a douchebag.
When this tactic did not work, he became hostile towards staff and patients, and then he was asked to leave.
So that was his second tactic?
Yeah.
To be hostile?
With the reports of the person having blonde hair and Hans having long blonde hair, once the information about the hair came out to the media, Hans just happened to cut his hair and shave it bald.
Oh, coincidence?
Yeah. The clothing that he went to the hospital with matched the description that the children who were bird watching saw.
Oh.
As it turns out, Hans had a past, and this wasn't the first time he was a suspect in a murder.
Oh, dun dun dun.
In 1953, he was a suspect in a murder of a 17-year-old girl named Ali Kaluki Sari, which is one of the most famous cases in Finnish history. The police also leaked into at least three other unsolved cases.
Oh, this guy's busy.
Very busy. Now, I also did a deeper dive into Hans Osman. And this guy was involved in some shite. He was an SS officer for Nazi Germany at the age of 18.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
When he was 19, he became a guard at the most infamous concentration camp, Auschwitz.
Oh, so this is all coming together here.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's had a past.
Hans Osman had a past.
I'm never going to forget that name. It sounds like you put your hand on your ass, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Love would eventually find Hans in Nazi Germany. You cannot fall for a Jewish woman, but that's exactly what Hans did.
Oh, really?
Heidi was a Jewish woman, and they planned to escape together. However, the plan was sniffed out, and Hans was sent to the Eastern Front to join the forces.
So he was all about Nazi Germany and all that, but he actually fell in love with a Jewish woman?
Yes. Yep.
He's still a douchebag. Let's just get that straight.
Yep. So now Hans was at the Eastern Front. He was captured by the Soviets, and he was sent to a war camp as a prisoner. He took a passport of a fallen comrade because a former guard at a concentration camp would have been executed. So he escaped death by stealing this passport.
Yeah, get that.
Yeah, he had a false name and mm-hmm. whatever now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of all I have really on Hans Osman. Like, he fits the description. I just want to keep seeing the name. This is getting a reaction.
Oh, I'm crying. My cheeks hurt. Yeah.
But yeah, that's him. I mean, he has a past. He's been involved in a few murders.
Yeah.
He's and a Nazi SS officer.
Yeah. And his description matches.
Yep.
And all of a sudden he cuts his hair and goes bald, you know, when people are starting to look towards him.
Yep. Yep.
Have you ever thought about starting a podcast, but you just weren't sure how to even start? That was us too. We love listening to podcasts and always thought, hey, what if we started one too? That's when we found Buzzsprout and haven't looked back since. With Buzzsprout, they made it so easy. To start, you don't need all the expensive gear. If you have a recording device and a quiet space, then you're on your way to creating a great podcast. But if you do want to get the best that's available, then let us assure you, Buzzsprout can help with that. They provide so many tools and resources to help guide you along the way. So now that you've signed up with Buzzsprout and use the link that we've provided in our show notes, after 2 months of your subscription, you will receive a $20 Amazon gift card. You have now joined hundreds of thousands of others and became a podcaster, and you will be heard all over the world on all major platforms like Spotify, Apple, Google Podcast, Amazon, and many more. So what are you waiting for? Today is the day to come join us on the adventure of a lifetime and watch your number of downloads grow with the up-to-date location tool to see exactly where your audience is. This is where the magic begins. Come join us on Buzzsprout, where starting a podcast is made easy.
So now we're going to get into the next suspect.
Mm-hmm.
He is Carl Valdemar Gilstrom. Sorry, I don't know that. He was 50 years old at the time. I don't know if that's his last name. Gilstrom?
Gilstrom?
Gilstrom? Yeah. I think that's kind of about right. Gilstrom? Okay.
We're not German.
No.
Oh, no, he's not German.
No, he's probably Finnish. I'm just calling him Carl.
Carl.
He was 50 years old at the time. He actually confessed to the murders while drunk to a neighbor.
What?
But he later recanted this, of course. Like, he got drunk. He's like, yeah, I killed them.
Yeah, but do you know when you start drinking, your inhibitions and everything comes out and you say things which you actually believe? So if
you tend to tell the truth a little more when you've been drinking.
You do.
Yeah.
So.
But also, too, you also tend to
elaborate.
Like, yeah, you tend to fib a little bit too while you're drinking as well.
Yeah, because you want to sound like, you know, the life of the party.
The party, exactly. Yeah. So now, Carl was a vendor of a kiosk, and just a day before, on June 4th, Seppo and Nils bought lemonade from him. He was a very spiteful man. He hated children and campers.
Yeah, well, the kids went and bought lemonade, so be happy.
Yeah. Days after the murder, he was reported to be seen pouring concrete into a well in his back garden. Some believe he was disposing of the murder weapons or the belongings that were taken. Unfortunately, the police never followed up on this, so we will never know what's in that well. But he apparently had an alibi. His wife said that he was with her all night in bed, but she later retracted that on her deathbed, saying that her husband threatened to kill her if she didn't provide him with an alibi.
You know, I can never believe an alibi when it's given by your spouse.
You should never do that.
Right.
There are witnesses that say they saw Carl coming home in the early hours of that morning, but with his violent nature, they were too afraid to contact the police.
Oh, see, I would just contact the police.
I would too.
I'm that person.
Local people didn't camp where they camped because they knew that Carl would cut tent strings so that the tents would fall down and he would leave laughing. Like,
I just hated people camping, man.
Apparently, he also chased everyone away who wanted to camp there. So, like,
why was he so adamant about getting people to go away?
Get off my lawn, kids. So what the people said is that, like, the word of the street was, like, the locals never camped there because of him. But these people were, like, they lived a little bit further away, so they didn't know the story of all this.
So did he live right there by the campsite?
I believe so. Yeah, he did. I don't think it was very far. But just imagine, I just put that in my head of like him cutting like the tent strings and like running away laughing like, hee 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 hee. Like an evil smile and grin.
Yep.
He's like, ha ha.
I defeat you.
Yeah. Oh, this seems like it's like a bad like cartoon.
It does, doesn't it? It does sound like a cartoon.
Yeah. So now there was an exchange between Carl and a man named Borge. And I couldn't find a last name. So he's like Cher right now. Borge.
Okay. Borge.
In this conversation. Sounds fancy. It does sound fancy.
Mm-hmm.
In this conversation, Carl said he killed the teens and asked Borge what he would do if he was responsible. And you know what he replied with?
No.
He said you should drown yourself, because you'll be spending the rest of your life in prison. Just like, then just like that, 9 years after the murders on August 2nd, 1969, and just hours after this conversation, Carl committed suicide from drowning the Lake Bodum.
Oh.
After the guy just said, what would you do? Well, I'd probably kill myself. And then he kills himself.
Oh my God.
So that really
raises. Roger had like shots fired and then Carl just kills himself, suicide, the way he told him to.
So now that raises suspicion to Carl now because of all this.
Oh my Lord. This is a roller coaster. I don't want off.
Nope.
No, this is exciting. Keep going.
Okay. And obviously, too, like, Nils was also a suspect, too, because he survived, right?
They always, like, the survivor, like, maybe he did it and he just hurt himself because it'll just offset everything.
Yeah.
But wasn't he bashed, like, barely alive?
Barely alive.
Right. Like, How does a person do that to themselves?
I know. We're going to get to Kevin Nils a little bit here now. So now we're going to go to 2004. We're just going to go back into our time machine, just go way further ahead, because nothing really happened between that time.
Because the Finnish fucked up. The Finnish police fucked up.
Yeah. And they announced, like, in 2004, that they re-examined the tent and the surviving pieces of evidence, and using modern forensic techniques, they were able to charge the sole survivor, Nils Gustafsson, who is now 62 years old, with the murders.
They
charged him.
Are you serious?
Yep. Nils was living a quiet life. He was married and he was a father of two, and he had a job as a bus driver.
Whoa.
So he was just living his life. And then all of a sudden in 2004, they're like, open up the case again. They're like, okay, we're going to charge this guy with murder of three people.
It's like 44 years later.
Yep. The prosecution said that Nils attacked the other three using rocks and Seppo's pocket knife, which was never found. And they believe that this was the murder weapon.
But why would they think that Nils did this?
Now, you may ask yourself, what would be a motive to kill your best friend and your girlfriend? Well, jealousy, of course.
But you...
The prosecution said that Nils flew into a sexual jealous rage over Miley and that he got his broken jaw in a fist fight with Seppo over the girls. This would explain why Miley had the most serious wounds and was even stabbed after she was already dead. As you remember, Miley was Nils' girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to make him fly into a fit of rage? And also, too, if you remember, Nils' shoes were a half mile from the scene, and British forensic scientists found traces of blood from all the murder victims on the shoes.
That still does not say it's Nils.
I know, but that's what they're going
with. Niles or Nils?
I think it's Nils. Nils. So now the defense obviously countered by saying that they were all attacked and he was in close proximity to the three victims, so it would make sense to have all the blood on his shoes. The defense also stated that Nils' injuries were too severe to be self-inflicted, and then to travel half a mile to try and hide his shoes.
And then go back again.
Exactly. Like, you didn't have much time, especially when people like saw this, like those bird watchers and stuff. So Nils also had a broken jaw, a head wound, a concussion, and a deep gash on his face. So
to me, it sounds like he was attacked and the bird watcher, quote unquote, were coming and the attacker ran off.
Yeah, exactly. But
what about the person in the red and black outfit with the blonde hair?
Exactly. That's what the bird watcher saw. But they said that Nils was the person, but he was brown hair.
That makes no sense. It's like they want to point the blame on somebody.
Well, they screwed up back then, so they're trying to make up for it now.
No, they're screwing up some more. Am I wrong? Oh, what's going on? Okay, go.
Yep. On October 7th, 2005, Nils Gustafsson was acquitted on all charges.
Yes!
And he was awarded about $58,000 USD in damages.
That's it?
It's because of the way that he was treated by the police and the media.
I guess he got $58,000 and it was only 1 year later.
Yeah, he was in jail for 15 years.
Right, he was just going through a year of hell, you know, away from his family, and that's a lot to go through.
Yeah, so now there's no other suspects in this case. Those are the ones that we all know.
Oh, God, thank God Nils is out.
Yeah, so Denise, what do you think that happened? What's your thoughts?
Oh, see, I have no idea. I want it to be Hams, ass man.
You just want to say that name over again, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, but what about Carl?
Right? Like, you don't really know. Like, I have my thought, but...
What's your thought?
I want to hear yours. Like, what do you actually think?
I actually think it is Hans Assmann.
He's a very good suspect, I think, in my eyes.
Like, to have the outrage, go through what he's gone through... They're suspected of murder before, numerous years earlier, going to the hospital, freaking out the hospital that they have to tell him to go away, cutting off all his hair when all of a sudden suspicions, you know, are arising. That even brings up more suspicion.
And you know what, too? Him being an SS officer.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people he killed in Auschwitz.
Oh, like, I'm sure lots.
There's probably lots, yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, to be able to go through Nazi, like, working at Auschwitz, you have to have zero heart, and killing is just easy for you.
And being an SS officer, mm-hmm. too. Like, he's probably, like, they say he was involved in a couple of murders, like, outside of it, but mm-hmm. I think inside, like, in World War II,
yeah,
he probably killed a few.
I think he has the perfect mindset to be the person that did this.
Okay, that's a good one. Like, I, you know what, I went back and forth of everything,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing that I kept coming back to, like, in my head, was Nils.
Really?
You know what? I think he kind of had something to do with it.
See, when you talked about Nils going out fishing at two...
No, that was Seppo.
Oh, was it Seppo? Yeah. Okay. See, I was confused on who was dating who.
Yeah.
But so I kept thinking, you know, maybe it was internal.
Yeah.
But so
for me, I find it unsettling that these three teenagers died in brutal fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's overkill on Miley. But Nils was able to survive.
Right.
And everything that I've known about forensic and, you know, murderers trying to kill, they try to eliminate their biggest threats first, like the two boys.
Right.
There's no reason why he would keep Nils alive, knowing that he is still a threat to him.
But he did jump on the tent and started stabbing through the tent. So he doesn't know who he's actually hitting.
No, Nils was outside the tent. Nils and Miley were outside the tent.
Oh.
Only Anya and Seppo were inside in the tent.
Okay.
So, and Miley was on top of the tent with Nils beside her. So he could have killed, like, Seppo and Anya inside the tent first.
Mm-hmm.
And then went after his girlfriend. And that's why there's overkill on her, why she was stabbed so many times.
Oh, stop trying to sway me.
Because I think, because you know what? He is the biggest threat of all of them. He should have been the one who had, you know, more damage to him because he was the biggest threat. He was outside the tent.
Right.
There's no reason why to keep him alive. He would have killed him so he could have more time with Miley.
Right.
So that's kind of where I lead to. And Miley had the most, like, overkill. And that was his girlfriend. Maybe something happened between Seppo and Miley.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into a rage.
Or, like, maybe we're just thinking too much into it.
Maybe. And it maybe is, like, Carl or Hans.
Hans Assman.
And maybe he had a concussion, just passed out. But it also leads to me, like,
or he ran into the bushes scared and then came back.
Yeah. Or also the shoe kind of gets me as well, as half a mile away. But I mean, with the crime scene,
he did run away and he lost his shoe and then he came back to help.
Well,
and then was attacked.
But it had blood from all the victims on the shoe.
Oh, yeah.
But the only thing I could think of that makes sense to me,
mm-hmm.
is that when all the onlookers were mm-hmm. like trampling the scene,
right?
They might have, like, seen the shoe and just took it, and then they realized that, like for, like, you know, their own personal, like, these people got murdered, I have my little souvenir from it. Then he probably saw people that were coming towards him
and just dropped it.
that's
pretty shitty to do. If I came up on a murder scene, I would not touch anything.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking, is maybe something like that happened, of how that got that far away. Because that's easy to say that happened. Like, I mean, with the crime scene being chaos, mm-hmm. right? Like,
right.
So much, like, all the items were never recovered. Easily, that person could have had like the keys in his pocket,
right?
But couldn't hide the shoe, so he just, like, tossed it. Right. Like, that's a possibility. I'm not gonna throw it out.
Everything's
the window.
A possibility right now. And I was so excited that, you know, Nils was released. And now I'm thinking,
did he just get away with murder?
Yes. Damn you, Bradley.
That's kind of my thoughts, because, like, what I do know is that a murderer is going to get rid of your biggest threats. He's not going to leave the men alive. He's going to get rid of the men. And if it's sexual, he's going to leave the women for themselves.
See, you should have finished off that criminology course.
I don't know. It's just my thought. I don't know. That's just... Everybody has their own, like, thoughts about it,
mm-hmm.
and everybody sways in one way or another one, but that's just mine. You know what? You could just go right to Hans and be like, yeah, Hans did it. And that's acceptable as well, because he possibly could have.
All of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And we won't know, because a lot of fuckery happened.
There was a lot of fuckery.
Yep.
And as like M3 would say, dumbassery.
Dumbassery. Yep.
But yeah, that's this case. I don't know. It's a pretty neat case. I've actually like been involved with this one for like so many years because I've always looked into it.
Yeah.
And wanted to know what was going on with this case. And I've always went towards Nils on this. I don't know. Just something rubs me the wrong way with having him like getting out alive. Like,
and you know, if he is guilty, there's nothing they can do about it now because they charged him once and they can't charge him again for the crime.
I don't know if that's
double jeopardy, right?
Well, I think that's U.S. law. I don't know if this isn't finished though. Like every law is different, right?
That's true.
I don't know the law there. So
I think
they might,
you
I don't know.
Can, if they can find enough information to, or charge you with something else.
Right. So I don't know. That's that case. It's a very mystery ish case. I didn't know what word I wanted there, so I just said all of them.
I like it. Okay. Oh, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Also, too, guys, let me know what you guys think about this. I would really like to hear what you guys' thoughts are on this. Like, I want to know what you guys lean towards. So yeah. You can send us an email at worldstruecrime@hotmail.com or gmail.com. Doesn't matter.
We'll get it.
Yeah, we'll get it. And we'll maybe have a little discussion about it.
Ooh, a debate. I like those.
Yeah, like just to see what happens. Because I really want to know.
I think everyone wants to know.
Yeah. So yeah, just get a hold of us on the social medias.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about it.
Okay.
I don't think we have any more to talk about.
No, I think we've talked enough.
Yep.
Okay. So remember, everyone, the world is not always as it seems.
No, it's not.
Bye, guys.
Bye.